Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
So I poured myself a glass of this glorious Chilean Cabernet Sauvignon, and I've been sitting here letting it mellow now for about 20 minutes. And honestly, if we're going to talk about this last Army game, I feel like I maybe need to have a drink ready before we get into it. I've always wanted to do like a men's lifestyle magazine or a blog or something and talk about wine and workouts and snowboarding and like all the stuff that I'm into besides just Army football. I've never talked about this on the show, but if you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen some of the mad ramblings. I mean, I have a whole live album project that I do, screening live albums that speak to me. But anyway, I bring all this up because this last game was one of those where we as fans were really lucky in that we got to just walk away and flush the experience and get a little perspective and get back to our actual lives, because I think we all expected things to go differently, to say the least, with that last game. It's pretty obvious that the players on the field expected it to go differently. I mean, they were visibly frustrated. This is one of those weeks where as fans, you know, for us to be able to just walk away and leave it in the rear view, I honestly didn't envy the coaches and the players having to relive that game on film. So with that said, this is a toast to the staff that I know spent their week busting their ass, reliving one of the worst weeks of their professional careers. And so, Rob, how the hell have you been since last Saturday?
Yeah, I'm doing well. So the other part of it is I got to catch up on some other football, which is always nice. So it kind of tempers everything, and everything in moderation, right? If you take things to the extreme, you're always going to be pretty disappointed with the outcome. And I have to caveat this because, again, I mentioned this on the College Football Roundtable, but if you are listening to Ask for Football, keep in mind we're advocacy journalists for the Army football team. So if somebody says something snarky on social media or makes some comment about, you know, oh, they're going to suck or blah, 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 or whatever, we're going to defend the team because we're fans of the team. But The reality of it is it's like, look, people stand up for what they believe in. So if you take a stand on anything, take a stand on, you know, there are worse things that you can support other than Army football, right? Like there's a thousand That's other true. Things that you could, you know, spend time, energy, and effort towards. But certainly something that it's worth your time. And, you know, we only have two people on tonight, so it's going to be interesting because I think like everybody just needs a breather from this last week. So if you don't check in, we're cool. You know, it's not like you're not going to hurt my feelings if you're not here because of whatever reason, right? Whatever your reason is. Anyway, speaking of somebody that never takes a break, we have the realtor for you if you're moving to the PC or PCS into the Fort Liberty area. That's Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There, she discovered a passion for making the difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes, and when they're in the market, she provides exceptional service when working for you. Jocelyn has decided to support Astro Football this season. She's the right person to get you in the home of your dreams. Even if you're not shopping for a home in the Fort Bragg or Fort Liberty area, Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving anywhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call.
So yeah, Army lost to Notre Dame in the Bronx, 49-14. And, you know, bottom line, the Black Knights couldn't get anybody blocked in the running game, nor could they stop the Irish on offense, with the result that this past week's game got out of hand right from the opening kickoff. Army finished with 233 yards of total offense, which is actually about 100 more than I thought they actually had when I was watching live. 207 yards rushing on 3.6 yards per carry, which actually sounds respectable. But most of that came in the last quarter against Notre Dame's backups. You know, it's sad to say, but Army looked legitimately competitive against the Irish third stringers and true freshmen, but that was about where it stopped. You know, Bryson Daly finished 4 of 8 passing for 26 yards, 139 yards rushing, and 2 touchdowns on 39 carries. Coaching staff, we would like to see my man maybe take about 10 fewer carries than that this week. Kanye Udo had 10 carries for 35 yards. I mean, it was like banging your head against a brick wall. And as bad as the game was, let's remember, you know, it featured a couple of real highlights. You know, Army drove all the way down the field and scored a very tough touchdown against Notre Dame's first string on their third drive. The defense also had an outstanding goal line stand on the Irish third drive that you could tell really upset those Notre Dame players. And that's good because they need to be upset. Finally, Army special teams blocked a field goal right before halftime. So, you know, you're playing legitimately a top five team in the country. You walk away with things to really hang your hat on. That's good. But also, yes, it sucked. And I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I don't want to sit here and belabor it. We're definitely not going to like relive it blow by blow, but man, you know, you got to take the good with the bad this week because there was some extremely good stuff in there. It was just mixed in with a lot of futility. Rob, thoughts?
Yeah. So really quick, like I can summarize the game in one phrase, pad level, right? Like on the offensive line, pads were too high. You know, couldn't get underneath the Notre Dame pads against leverage. There was some discussion in the first club right before this started about, you know, a lot of the stems, early pre-snap movement, you know, changing blocking schemes and things like that's going to happen, you know, and teams with good athletes can get away with that because I can legit stem into another defensive set and then stunt back into a formation that's going to throw off the blocking scheme. And that's what happened on the defensive side of the ball. Again, pad level, you know, when you're an undersized player playing against a bigger player, regardless of whether it's freaking lightweight football, peewee football, or intercollegiate athletics, or in the NFL, the team that has the lowest pads usually has an advantage. And you can't hand fight when you're smaller than the guys across from you. And even if, you know, there's a size advantage or speed advantage, you know, literally all you have to do as a defensive guy, you know, and defensive lineman, believe it or not, I played sprint ball, so I could be the stature that I am. But, you know, as a defensive lineman, it is your job literally to grab offensive linemen, make a big pile of crap, force that running back to move, and keep those linemen from getting to your linebackers to create opportunities. That didn't happen. And again, it goes back to pad level. I don't know if there's anything coachable out of that other than the fact that, like, hey, look, sometimes you have to change your technique based off the opponent, and that's it. I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm wearing my Quit Being a Triggered Pansy t-shirt in honor of the Veteran Trash Talk Network, but also just as a reminder to all of us, is it's a college football game. You know, can't sink all your life and emotion into one weekend because it's going to ruin the next four.
Well, yeah. Like we always say, you know, you're not blocking, you're not tackling, you're not throwing the ball, you're not catching the ball. It's a TV show. You know, for us, it's a TV show. We're watching. And yes, it's, you want to see your team win. And as you get invested, it hurts when they lose in direct proportion to how much you are invested. But, you know, we got to be able to get some perspective. And with that said, I don't know how much we can take away from this game, despite the very real positives that we discussed. There were a bunch of times where I thought Army got the look that they wanted on offense and defense both. You know, they had guys in position to make plays. They got runners out in space, and they just didn't have the raw speed to make it work on either side of the ball. You know, how many times did you see pitch to a guy in space 10 yards in front of him, and then either somebody beats a block or else a trailing defender comes from out of nowhere to make the tackle? I mean, we just have not seen that all year. And I thought, oh, he's going to, at least 10 times I must have thought, oh shit, they're finally going to break one, only for some unbelievable athlete to just come usually off the backside and just make a tremendous play. And it's frustrating. And you know, this is why I thought that it looked like the cup blocking changes affected the game a lot, because they couldn't get those DBs on the outside slowed down on the offense because they couldn't get them on the ground. If you could cut those guys and get them on the ground, I expect some of those outside runs would have been there, in which case it would have been way harder to stack the middle of the box. And suddenly you're talking about like a completely different game, but that ain't what happened. So in that sense, I feel like the coaching staff needs to come up with something for some of these big high leverage games. Yeah. But the good news is we'll not see people, you know, athletes of this caliber again this season. That's just, the AAC is not stacked with Notre Dame team size or team speed. And, you know, this is kind of an important point, right? Army has killed everyone leading up to this Saturday's game. So it's natural to want to see how this ranked team would fare against the best in the country. personally, I really wanted to see that. Like these guys have killed everyone. You know, you got to get on the field with the next level and see where you stack up. Unfortunately, you know, it didn't go their way this time, but and more to the point, they got kind of a tough road going forward, depending on how some of the injuries turn out, but it was worth doing. Like this was a good game to put on the schedule because they were 9-0. They had kicked the crap out of every single team, including, you know, a pretty good ECU team and a pretty good North Texas team. And yeah, let's get out there and see how we did against Notre Dame. But unfortunately, you know, we didn't do as well as we might have hoped.
Yeah. And you know, regardless of the play on the field, there's a lot of things that I heard like behind the scenes that was just like, was in the bag for Notre Dame. And I don't really, you know, I don't really care for that because again, I'm all about fair competition. So if I can't beat you whistle to whistle, then I don't really care about anything else. But that being said, like when you don't let, you know, when you don't let tickets get sold, when you don't let a reenlistment ceremony, right?
Yeah.
Like an oath of office ceremony. Like if you are that afraid of Army football that you don't want to have a bunch of American citizens join the military, F you, you got a problem. You know what I mean? So, like, don't thank me for my service because you're an ass clown.
So it's not even that they didn't want to thank Army for their service because that part was fine. You know, treating this as a football game was all good. What was annoying to me was that they brought out their own, you know, Rudy of kickers to thank him for his service on behalf of Notre Dame. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Did that guy kick? Because if he kicked, then okay.
He was the kickoff specialist. And, be it from me to throw shade on somebody's military service, but I'm going to throw shade on the dude's military service. Like, if you're not a grunt in an infantry battalion in 20 years, I really don't care. You know? Honestly, when you're trying to showcase something like that, it's like, hey, I got all these future leaders here, and I got this 30-year-old kicker. So what? Like I've worked with 30-year-old kickers too, you know, and they happen to be grunts that were blowing off doors in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that's my perspective, and I can be salty about it one day a year, and this is my one day. So allow me that. Thank you.
All right. Fair enough. So Salty Rob, would you like to tell these guys about Craig Oxane?
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of somebody that is not salty when you call him on the phone, Craig Oxane, he is the vice president of residential lending. He's got a new gig coming up, so we're going to announce that once it's done. He is a class of 1994. He can lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago, one of the most significant VA lenders in the country. He has super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal he possibly can. Friends, the whole mortgage process is insane. With the market flip-flopping all over the place, you just don't know what's going to happen. Interest rates are moving all over the place. Now is not the time to deal with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off of you. Deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. This is the actual way that the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you find a better deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans, so regardless if you are a kicker at Notre Dame or just somebody that graduated from West Point, you can get $13 off. So get that money, friends. Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. Link's on our website. His business card's on the side. Click on it. Fill out some paperwork, and you'll be talking to Craig in a couple minutes.
So Craig told me that his company got bought by New American Funding. And so he went from working in a relatively small company to working in a giant company, which he described a quote small company as being one with like $2 to $3 billion of mortgages outstanding. And I was like, okay. But apparently New American Funding is like multiples of that. Yeah. So he just wants to go somewhere where he has a little bit more control of his own destiny. Mm-hmm. So, he's going to send me the link. I know where he's going, but you know, until he's ready to advertise it publicly. He fully told me the whole story, but anyway, if you go on there now, you will still be dealing with him. He's going to take you with him when he goes. You know, it's like being a realtor. You know, you can work in whatever shop, and at the end of the day, you're still kind of an independent person. And that's what Craig's doing. He's just sort of switching houses. So no big deal there. With all of that said, let's get into the UTSA preview. This is going to be such a crazy game on so many levels. And it starts because UTSA comes into this game 6-5, 4-3 in the American Conference. And they have been one of the best teams in the conference at home and one of the worst teams in the conference on the road. And there is just no logic to that at all. So they open the season beating Kennesaw State at home in what is a surprisingly close game to open the season, especially considering that Kennesaw State went winless through the first three quarters of the season. Then UTSA lost at Texas State, which was, you know, a tough loss, but not amazing. Then they lost at Texas, which I don't think anybody was surprised at, came home and beat the hell out of FCS Houston Christian, lost at East Carolina. That was probably the first time that folks were surprised that they lost, beat Florida Atlantic at home, and then they lost a mind-boggling game to Tulsa off an absolute collapse. Final score 46-45. I mean, they were up like 37-7 at the end of the first half and lost. It was nuts. Beat Memphis at home 44-36, which is a good win, especially after that collapse. Yeah. Beat North Texas at home 48-27. That was an extremely tough beat for North Texas coming off, as UTSA was coming off a bye where North Texas had to travel on a short week, no less. Then they beat Temple at home 51-27, and here we are. So they're 6-5. They're bowl eligible, haven't won a game on the road, and now they're coming into Mikey Stadium to play what I think is going to be pretty challenging conditions, if nothing else. Yeah, so they played way better over the last month, but they've also been home for the last month, and I have no idea what to do with that. Rob, you never talk about the offense, so this is your time to shine.
Nice. So
you we're going to talk about the offense and the defense. Maybe we'll talk about it in the middle.
Okay, sounds good. So for offense, they have a balanced offense, and they can do a lot of stuff well. They have quarterback Owen McCowan. He's 254 out of 409 passing, so about 62%, almost at 3,000 yards passing. Got 23 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, but he's taken 25 sacks, so that's not good. So he's got 76 carries for 253 yards. Wouldn't consider him a dual threat, but he's going to run as he needs to at 2 touchdowns. That's 3.3 yards for carries, but he's got a lot of sack yardage that backs that off. You got running backs Robert Henry and Brandon Hyde Jr. Both average about 5.4 yards a carry. They have 12 rushing touchdowns against them. They break a lot of chunk runs. And so, you know, to add this in there, I think chunk or explosive plays are probably going to be the difference in this ball game. Mm. Who has the most of them, you know, and the who has the most of them that turn in the scores. Henry also has 21 catches for 199 yards and TD, including Henry. 6 different receivers have at least 20 catches. Like, that's some diversity in the passing game, which is very, very hard to pick and choose which defender or which wide receiver you're going to cover down on or double, because it doesn't make sense because they all can catch. Wide receiver Chris Carpenter and Devin McEwen have 37 receptions apiece. Tight end Houston Thomas, interesting name for a guy that plays in Texas, has 28 catches, 410 yards, and 3 TDs. So, again, they have diversity in the passing game, multiple wide receivers that are, actually can get open and score. The quarterback runs just enough to get himself out of a jam, and that's an interesting prospect. The defense – Army have a tough job on their hands this weekend against their defense. They are pretty stout at the line of scrimmage. They're tied for number 2 with fourth down defense. They have 29.2% conversions allowed. They're 7 on third down defense, is 29.3 conversions allowed, and then they're number 9 in rushing defense. They're averaging about 100 yards a game, about 3.1 yards a carry. Number 23 in red zone defense, 10 touchdowns, 12 field goals on 30 opponent trips, and then 5 of their 6 tacklers are linebackers, which means their defensive line is getting after it. So that's a big point of contention. They're led by Martavius French. He has 68 tackles, 43 solo, 3 passes defensed, and 1 sack. Then you have Jamori Robinson, good last name. Don't like who the team he plays for. He's got 40 tackles and 9.5 sacks with 2 forced fumbles. So this team is getting after the quarterback, right? They have 36 sacks total, 10 interceptions, 15 forced fumbles, 9 fumble recoveries. That puts them at +3 turnover margin, 45th despite losing 7 fumbles and throwing 10 interceptions in the season. The reality of it is like, these guys have a talented defense, and their defense has to be talented because, you know, they're in shootouts every week. You know, when you look at the games that they've lost, it's because the other team just has a better offense. It's not because their defense is stopping them.
It's been nuts. They really do a lot well. As you're looking at these statistics, it's hard to believe that they've lost 5 games on the road. As this defense looks like it should be very good, but at the same time, like, you know, against Temple last week, they had 3 turnovers. You know, yeah. I forget it was two interceptions and a pick, or two picks and I'm sorry, two picks and a fumble, or two fumbles and a pick. I don't remember which one of those two it was, but you know, this team does turn the ball over a lot, but like there's a lot going on. And, you know, these guys have a lot of weapons. It's a real challenge, and it's hard to sort of pin down what's going on. I will say quarterback Owen McCowan has improved dramatically over the course of the season.
Yeah.
How much of that, you know, who knows? I don't know how you sort of evaluate that, but you know, they've had kind of an opposite, in the games that they've played against teams that Army has buried, they have mostly also buried those teams. In many cases, they've allowed more points and also scored more points. But yeah, anyway,
yeah, it's really tough to gauge
on special teams. I'll do it. Place kicker Tate Sandel, 28 of 29 on extra points, 15 of 19 on field goals, but all of his misses have come from 40 plus, and he's got three misses from 50 plus, but also two makes from 50 plus, which is extremely impressive at the G5 level.
Yeah,
extremely impressive. And then punter Kaylee Hogan, dude actually punts a lot more than you would think with those offensive statistics. They punted four times against Temple. I mean, that's wild, man. Yeah. Averaged 40 yards per kick with just one inside the 20-yard line. So there might be some chances to flip the field there, especially considering the weather. Weather, by the way, going to be an issue this week. It is going to be cold out there. We're expecting highs in the upper 30s at best, winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. I've been told that the wind chill is going to be like, feels like 25 degrees at kickoff, and the lows are expected to be in the low 20s. So it'll be very cold when they're out there warming up. And this team is from Texas, San Antonio,
and they play in the
and dome. They play inside.
And
so,
by the way, the East bleachers are gone, so they're going to get more wind effects.
Yeah. So I don't know how much passing I expect in this game. I think this game is really going to be about running the rock on both sides of the ball, but we'll see. Army opened as a 7.5-point favorite. The line has since slid to Army minus 6.5. Over-under opened at 57.5. It now sits at 55. I mean, you got to take the under with the weather, and that's just nuts.
Yeah, if they score 55 points with it being that cold,
I'll be very surprised.
Everybody will be nice and warm because it's a track meet for sure, because everybody will be running. Honestly, my take on the game is, you know, the first part being it's going to be cold. So, you know, cold, wet, rainy conditions usually benefit the better running team. So I think that's going to be part of it. But, you know, Army at home is always tough to beat. I mean, what's Munkin's record at Mikey Stadium? I think he's only lost like 4 or 5 games. Total.
It certainly has been very impressive. Yeah. They tend to play pretty well.
Yeah. I forget what the overall stat is, but I know at one point they had like 20 home wins. It might be.
Unfortunately, they sometimes don't play well on senior day because there's a lot of hoopla associated with senior day.
Yeah. And again, it's just focus, right?
Yeah. Focus is key.
Overall in the series, though, Army leads at 3-1, but UTSA has the most recent win in the series.
No. We won last year, remember? We won at UTSA last year.
Yeah.
That was the second game of the season. It shocked us all.
Yeah, the current winning streak is Army.
Yeah. And what's crazy is the home team has never won this matchup.
Yeah, which is insane. So you have two odd statistics working against you. So you have a great home team playing at home in a series where the home team has never won.
Yeah.
You know, but it's only been 4 games. So it's really, really hard to judge, you know, how that's going to happen. I legitimately think because UTSA struggles on the road, gives Army the actual advantage in this. I don't know why the points slid to, you know, 6.5. What's a point in the difference? It's just basically a touchdown still, regardless. But I think it's a typical Army football formula for this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Run a damn ball, control the clock, keep the defense fresh, win the game, on to the next one. I mean, it sounds pretty easy. But much easier said than done in the execution. You know, the plan, the roadmap is still the same. It's just the execution of that roadmap. It could be a little bit problematic depending on what's going on.
Absolutely. I got to say, this looks like it's going to be a tough game. And if they were playing at the Alamo Dome, I would be like very concerned. As it is, as we said, you know, I'm legitimately curious to see how UTSA looks on the road after a month of playing pretty well in, you know, frigid conditions. Honestly, it's going to be cold as all hell out there. You know, my daughter and I were planning to go, and I'm not actually sure I'm going to take her because it's just freezing. You know, James is going up to the game. He's the reason he's not on tonight is because he's driving from Oklahoma as we speak. He's on the road.
Nice.
And he asked if I wanted him to call in, and I was like, dude, you will not have enough connection to call in. But he's bringing 22 people, including both of his kids, and one of his kids is under 1 year old. And I was trying to imagine, like, how do you bundle up a 7 month old for a 25 degree game?
Yeah, with lots of blankets.
I mean, Eskimos are real, so yeah, I'm sure that somebody figured it out.
But yeah, maybe they'll build an igloo.
You know, if Army can get an early lead, they'll probably roll. But man, if the Roadrunners get up early and run well, then we could be in some trouble. And so the Black Knights lost nose tackle Cody Harris-Miller in the Notre Dame game. And if you listen to the show, you will know that I have had a major man crush on Harris-Miller all season. The guy has been an outstanding nose tackle, and that is huge in a defensive, defense that runs a 3-4. Plus, we just learned that they lost D-end Kyle Lewis for the season. So they've now lost 2/3 of their starting defensive line, which is not recommended. Right. Yeah, especially going into the American Conference Championship game. They've still got Jack Latour out there and Trey Sophia, and those guys are good players, but they're both better suited to be DNs. So that leaves us with Jacob Tuiati to come in and fill Harris Miller's shoes. And I do not want to besmirch the guy, because, he's played well in spots this year, and he was in there for one of those goal line stands, and nose tackle isn't the reason it didn't go our way, but he's still giving up 25 pounds to Harris Miller. He's 6'1", 275. Harris Miller's over 300. So, maybe they got a plebe, monster plebe nose tackle. Like, it would not surprise me if Coach Munkin, wheels out there this absolute unit that we've never seen before. But now is the time to wheel that dude out, because they're going to need reinforcements on the D-line. Given how good UTSA's offense is, this looks like one of those games where Army's offense needs to sort of carry the team. And that makes me nervous, because this defense is real good. And they got to figure something out and blocking on the outside and doing more than just running quarterback power with Bryson Daly out of the shotgun. I mean, that is fine, but we need more than that, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's something to be said when guys get hurt towards the end of the year, and usually it's on the offensive side of the ball that we get concerned, right?
Yeah.
And that's the big concern, right, going in, because of the stretch that we still have left. So we got UTSA, we got Tulane, and then the Navy game. So you got three contests for sure that you have to play, and then you've got a bowl game that, maybe I don't start, all my seniors in the bowl game, but still – having people hurt
impacts. So let me ask you this, Rob.
Scheme. Yeah.
If Tulane wins on Thursday, so the only college football game, D1 college football game, there is a HBCU game earlier in the day, but the only D1 college football game all day on Thanksgiving itself is at the night game between Memphis and Tulane, which, by the way, sucks, because here comes Tulane coming off a bye and then with a long week going into the American Conference Championship game. If Tulane wins that game, then this game doesn't matter at all for any reason except pride.
Yeah.
Do you rest your starters if you're Coach Munkin?
Maybe you pull them early if you have the lead. I wouldn't take them out, because you need the game reps. Game reps are important, particularly after, the game that we just had, because execution was a big problem.
Yeah.
So keeping your starters in as long as you can, makes sense. But I also think, Memphis is actually tougher than we give them credit for.
And no, so I'm not besmirching them. They might win that game.
Yeah, I'm saying I think they're going to play Tulane a little bit tougher. And so, Tulane is not going to be able to pull their starters early and rest.
Yeah.
Anticipating the following week against Army. So I think at the end of the day, both coaches have the same problem. Do I try and get up early to win big so I can rest my starters, knowing full well that I have another contest coming in, or do I just play the game as if it's a normal game? I wouldn't want to be in the coaching staff, because, the decision that I would make is hey, we're going, all in on this because we want to win.
Yeah.
But, I may make that decision earlier in the third quarter to pull guys versus, at the end or the middle of the third quarter, if I'm up with a sufficient enough lead.
Given what Coach Munkin said after the Notre Dame game, I sort of expect that he'll play to win the game no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And honestly, if they can get to 10 wins, you got to do it, right? I mean, geez, that's a great season. 10 wins. That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, and you got to think the 96 team had something very, very similar happen to them. You know, everything was rolling along. Then, you know, they played Syracuse led by Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, and they got smacked around.
Yeah, and they recovered after that, right? And so that's what we really need. And I think, you know, it's a very, very old movie. I'm dating myself. So if you watched HBO at all in the summertime as a kid, there's a movie called Matilda, right? And it was about a boxing kangaroo. And the thing about the boxing kangaroo was it was a great boxer up until the point it got punched in the face. And then it couldn't fight anymore after that. You know, and we've seen that all season long is like these teams are cruising along. They get bopped on the nose. And then all of a sudden they've lost four straight. You know,
yeah.
I don't think Army is that poorly coached. And I will just say that I think there's a much grittier attitude in the Army team this season. I don't think Coach Monken would stand for that. Quite frankly, I don't think the team captains would allow, you know, their teammates to not get involved in that process as well. I think they're going to hunker down, and that'll be a self-correcting thing. But we have seen that this season is like, you know, Navy 6-0, they lose to Notre Dame and then they drop three of their last four. Like, whoa.
It's Blake Horvath has not been the same since their Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
And then he got roughed up again against Tulane. We'll see what he looks like against East Carolina, but yeah, it's crazy. He's looked horrible since that Notre Dame game. Like, so
it's been a downside. And that's the thing that we've seen all season though. Like teams get punched, and especially in like the group of five, you know, teams get punched. Like we saw that with look at Pittsburgh, you know, not to turn this into the round table, but look at what happened to Pitt, right? They got bopped on the nose and then they've dropped three of their last four, you know, and it's like, wow, what happened? You know, did all of a sudden you lose all your confidence, you know?
I mean, North Texas, you know, opened the season with an outstanding win, ran their record up all the way to 5-1. Then they got, you know, Tulane beat the brakes off them. Then Memphis beat the brakes off them. Then Army beat the brakes off them. Then ECU beat the brakes off them. They don't win this week against Temple. They're not going bowling.
Yeah, they're sitting at home. And like, hey, Temple should be a team that they can beat. And guess what? Yeah. That's a trap game. Like, why? Because, like, you should beat them. But the way that you've been playing, you may not.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy, man, crazy. All right. Let's do a little fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right.
Fact or fiction. I'll just go first here. Army gets two red zone turnovers this weekend.
Ooh. That's a tough one. To be honest, I'm going to say fiction, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. And the reason why is because they've done this before. You know, they get they get up on the scoreboard, forcing the quarterback to make bad decisions, and he may pitch it away. But when you look at McCown's numbers this season, he's not the kind of guy to make a bad pass. He's probably going to throw it out of bounds before he throws it to our team because he's only got seven picks. You know, he would rather eat a sack than freaking throw an interception, I think.
All right. That's interesting. This team has turned the ball over a lot, though. I mean, you just look at it. They have turnover margin of +3 with 15 forced fumbles, 9 fumble recoveries, and 10 interceptions. With all that, they're still at just +3. Yeah. These guys have coughed the ball up a few times. And against teams that you wouldn't necessarily expect it, right?
And it's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold.
Like, if you would have just said two turnovers, I would have absolutely went fact on that. But red zone, I don't know.
Oh, that's why I said fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, give me fact, and we'll just kamikaze with it because it was mine. So,
all right, sounds good. All right, and fact or fiction, Kane Udoh will get 75-plus yards rushing this week.
Jeez, I hope so. That guy has not gotten enough work in the last few weeks. I don't know if it's Bryson Daly calling his own number or the coaching staff just kind of getting into a rhythm. It's a little hard to tell what is a design quarterback run and what is him just sort of reading it at the line. But that dude has carried the rock a lot, and that's a problem.
I mean, it's
too much.
Yeah, you've got like when you look at the number of carries, you've had 49 carries in the Notre Dame game, right?
Yeah.
49.
Yeah, 39.
No, I'm saying 49 total. 10 for Udo, 39.
Oh, Right.
Split that junk in half. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like, you've got to share the wealth. And the reason why, and it's like, you know, not to throw not to throw any disparaging comments, because I don't think it is. I think it's just that they get into the rhythm and that's what they stick with. But you've got an incredibly talented backfield, and you may not have all these guys, you know, next year. Tyrell Robinson is gone. You know, Miles Stewart is gone. Both of those guys are pretty decent athletes, and they don't touch the ball near enough, in my opinion, as a fan. You know, I don't know what's going on in practice. Maybe they got, you know, buttery fingers or something like that. Who knows? But when you look at, you know, when you look at the team as a whole, take advantage of all those guys, because you've got Noah Short, Kanye Udo, you know, Robinson, Stewart, Rendina, Reed. Like, you got a laundry list of, you know, great running backs. And these guys, if they would have played for any other team, you know, in the 2000s and 20s,
they probably be the feature guy.
Yeah, they would have been carrying the rock a heck of a lot more. So I get it. You've got a great quarterback and he can run the ball, but like, you got a whole bunch, you got a gang of dudes in the backfield that you could take advantage of.
So in fairness, they tried to throw the ball a decent amount early in that Notre Dame game, and they just took sack after sack after sack. I mean, that was just not working. So I do understand not trying to throw more, because that was not going to occur. I mean, that the pass blocking was, that was not happening. But yeah, I agree. They got to figure something out. And so, yeah, I'll take fact. And I'll also say they got to figure out a way to reinvigorate the pitch game and get those slot backs the ball more. Yeah, and I do understand what happening is Notre Dame. Like I get you couldn't get it blocked on the outside. But this ain't Notre Dame. Like, these guys are not Notre Dame. Notre Dame would also beat the brakes off this team.
Yeah. Well, but the other part of it is like, look at the performance that Noah Short had in the FAU game. Like, we haven't seen that since like the first game, right? Where's that been? And it's been there. I mean, we said, you know, the edge has been set up. And I think one of the other parts of it is, you know, and of course, it's hindsight 2020, and we are way armchair quarterback in this. But, you know, had you got, you know, different looks earlier in the season, you know, if I'm a defensive coach right now, and I know nothing about Army other than fullback dive, quarterback power, A, whichever way the ball flows, defensive end, you tackle the fullback, safety or linebacker, tackle the quarterback, regardless of if they have the ball or not, just hit those dudes. Because if you hit them, eventually you're going to come up with gold, right? It's just the law of averages. And so I think just a little bit more diversification in the offense would make it trickier for the defense, right? That's the whole purpose of running the triple option. And there's not any surprises when you go into the shotgun and, you know, Kanye Udo goes in motion. Well, we know it's going to happen.
Yeah. I need Jake Rendina to come back on this field and play more snaps. I mean, listen, it's not always tricky. In fact, I'd like to see Kanye Udo and Jake Rendina on the field at the same time.
Dude, like, how about that for a monster backfield? Put Hayden Reed at the other slot back.
Yeah, I mean, just anyway. All right, enough.
Musing.
yeah, we're I don't want to take shots at the coaching staff. Like, I understand why they did what they did in this last game, and I don't think that there were any better solutions than what they tried. It's just none of that shit was working. What are you going to do?
For sure.
All right, so I wrote a new commercial this week, and I hope you guys will give me a little bit of your patience with this. But we've been talking the last few weeks about how to help Astro Football. And let me be honest with you, friends. The best way that you can help Astro Football right now is by either signing up for our mailing list, or signing up your friends for our mailing list, or joining us on Patreon. And listen, the mailing list is free. Like, I understand Patreon is for people who it's a pay what you want thing. If you feel like Astro Football is worth supporting, then that's fine. That's another discussion. I think our patrons have been, you know, fiercely loyal to us, and I'm extremely grateful for that. But for, you know, casual fans, I'm telling you, signing up for that mailing list is a big, big deal for us. And signing up your buddies or just sending that mailer to your friends, it matters more than you know. And here is why. Because our written content especially has really exploded this year and gotten out there, but it's increasingly difficult to get the word out on social media about what you're trying to do. You know, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, is now actively demoting shared links on their space. Facebook has always artificially limited the reach of our unpaid posts. This is why if you click on a link and you sometimes get sent straight to Messenger, it's because they legitimately will not let our stuff go beyond a certain reach unless we pay them for it. It's a shakedown. With both companies, it's just a shakedown. They want our content on their site for their advertisers. You know, Elon Musk, and I am not hating on the guy, but he's been very straightforward about what he wants. Put your content on my site for my advertisers. And I'm telling you right now, Azure Football makes money when our content is on our site for our advertisers and not on their site for their advertisers. It's just a reality that we live in. And so with all that said, social media sites come and go, right? Sign up for our weekly mailing list. Like, we'll send you the articles. That's it. The end. It's not even complicated. You know, bookmark, ask for football, whatever. We will continue to be on social media. I don't hate social media by any means, but it is a increasingly less effective way for us to get our message out. So, you know, take that and do with it as you will. Rob, do you have a favorite thing?
Yeah, I do. And like I said, I put it in the notes. I'm not sure that if it's a favorite thing or not. Like, I've been a little salty tonight. Obviously, I didn't change my name from the Angry Colonel to Rob, so I've harnessed my other moniker tonight. But the reality of it is like, folks, we got hardware to play for.
Yeah.
And two of the next three competitions, or, well, actually, three of the next four competitions, really, when you think about it.
Absolutely. It's absolutely
game,
right.
You know, bowl game trophy, American Conference trophy, CIC. So we've got hardware on the line for three of our next four games. So why would we even, you know, be upset that Army loses one game? Yes, they're 9-1. What a great opportunity to, you know, great opportunity for the team to rebound from that is to pick up three pieces of hardware. I think I'd feel all right if I won the CIC trophy, the American Conference title, and a bowl game trophy if I was a senior on the Army football team. Like, you had absolutely. one game not go your way. And that's really what it is. So I think as fans, we all need to take a deep breath and exhale and just be like, hey, you know what? It is what it is. Stop clutching your pearls. Let's go 1-0 this week. Let's get some hardware. Go bowling. Get some more hardware. Every athlete in history has always had everyone. If you have participated in competitive sports at any point in your life, you've had a contest that didn't go your way.
And absolutely. God knows I have.
The truest measure of a competitor is, okay, I've got to let that go and move on. You know, I think it was Matt Hughes of UFC fame that said, like, look, if you meet a fighter that has gone their entire career undefeated, they never fought anybody. And so that's kind of the moniker that we have to take with the Army football team this year. Like, they have a lot, like, how this would be better than the 96 team would be if they win three pieces of hardware in the next four games.
I mean, that's
the honest thing. And like, that's just kind of my perspective. And that's my favorite thing is, like, we're playing for hardware. Like, we have three opportunities to pick up trophies. Like, I would not be upset if I'm an Army football fan right now.
Imagine finishing 13-1 and pretending that anybody is going to be upset with that at the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's bonkers. It's unconscionable if you did. Like, so, you're like, well, you know, you guys did great except for that one game. And, like, look at my trophy case, bro. You know, like, I'm less concerned about that thing because maybe that sets a tone to get those pieces of hardware, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how you have to look at it. That's my thoughts on it. But, you know, I could be wrong.
So Brandon Jones says, I've been legit sick since leaving the game on Saturday night, which means I now associate feeling awful with Notre Dame. So I'm happy to never see them on Army schedule ever again. I feel exactly the same way. He closes by saying, beat UTSA. So let's leave it with that, man. Go yeah, Army, sure. Beat UTSA.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Navy.